listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you this day from our God who comes to us in peace. Amen. It's as if the author of this passage knew about the water cycle that we learned about when we were in elementary school. Did you catch that part in the reading that Dusty just read? For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, remember the water cycle? For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, it is as if the author, which by the way, many scholars believe the author of this text was not Isaiah himself. Very interesting. Isaiah would have had to have lived about 150 years in order for this to be the author. Many call this section, this is the chapters 40 to 55. This is just interesting background. They call this second Isaiah, and they think the author was probably someone who was paying some sort of prophetic tribute to Isaiah, who had lived before. Anyway, it's as if the author here had taken a science class and learned the water cycle, and then brilliantly uses the water cycle as a metaphor for how God's word works. So shall my word then be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Just as the water comes down and waters the earth, so God's word comes down and has a purpose and comes back in a new way. God's word as water cycle. Draw me a picture of that. And God's word today, in this third Sunday of Advent, December 17th, 2017, as we prepare for the Mass of Christ, Christmas, as we clean and clear our homes and our hearts for the Messiah child, as we wrap up another semester in the Old Testament and start in the New Testament once again, as we scurry around all busy and excited. This really is a fun time of the year. I know there's a narrative that it's just an awful time of the year because it's just so busy and stressful, but it's really a great time too. But as we scurry around with all our busyness and excitement, God meets us in the Word, and God waters us with hope and promise, and God restores us anew. This is a text, and I'd say a whole Sunday, about restoration. This is a restoration story that we gather around this day from the book of Isaiah. Last week I talked about resurrection, not resuscitation. This week it's restoration. It's a whole lot of R words. God restores Israel. Isaiah chapter 55 that we just read sings of a return from exile. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. After all those years in Babylon, we sing during Advent, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. The Babylonian exile is over now. The Israelites are coming back. The Persian king, in this text, just the historical context, the Persian king has actually released the Israelites now from Babylonian captivity. They've been freed because the Persians conquered the Babylonians. So they were once captive by the Babylonians in modern-day Iraq. Now they've been let go and they're free to return to their homeland. Sounds really wonderful until they get to their homeland. And everything, of course, has changed. They're in the process in this text of returning home. We believe when this chapter happens, when this was penned, the author is painting this beautiful picture of what restoration looks like, even as they return home to ruins. Their holy sites have all been destroyed. They've all been grown over by years of both encroaching occupation and just desolation. Imagine if we were taken away. Imagine if we were taken away, others would move into where we live, right? And when we finally return home 50 years later, which is the same thing as the Judeans were taken away, they didn't get to come back until 50 years later, that's within a lifetime. So some of these folks are actually coming back and remembering when they were much younger what it was like. There would have been all kinds of work to do. Suddenly, they were outsiders. They were the foreigners as far as the new locals were concerned. This was Israel's place. It was returning to this land of Judah. And all of this is happening, by the way, 600 years before the birth of Christ. The plight and the work that was before them, the despair, can you imagine? All this work to do. And here's the prophet singing right in the middle of it, like he's just clueless about the reality of the situation. Hey, everyone who thirsts, it says. It actually says ho, which was perfect for Christmas, and Dusty was Santa Claus, don't tell the kids, on Thursday night. Oh. I mean, Santa Claus was here, yeah, so some of the kids were here. So it's appropriate to start this whole passage, right, by saying, ho, everyone who thirsts. But really, I mean, a better translation of that word, I think, for us today, hey, hey, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. How are you supposed to buy if you don't have any money? This is God's grace. This is God's economy. Come, everyone, and feast on God's goodness and grace, the prophet sings, in the midst of total despair and desolation as they come back to their homeland completely destroyed and completely changed. Come to the table of welcome and mercy and hope, the prophet sings. It's like water on the blazing fire. It's like cooling and calming the scorching, parched earth. This is God's word falling fresh on sorrowful ears and hearts. Have you ever had a feast after suffering? After working really, really hard? It's the best. When you've really earned it in some way, or you've been through a hard time. I was helping my friend Brian, a best friend from college. He and his family are moving. They just bought a bunch of land up in Murrieta, so they're moving from a nice-sized house to an even bigger place, and so they've got lots and lots of stuff. And he was all alone on the move. I went up there yesterday, and cross-town moves are even more work, I think, sometimes than the cross-country moves, because physically you're not that far. So all the work you do leaving, you know, is just a couple-minute drive. And so all day we spent yesterday going back and forth, and it was just the two of us. We load the U-Haul from the storage unit, and then we drive it over to the house, and we go back, load the U-Haul again. Then he's like, oh, and I've got some stuff at my in-law's place. Okay, so we go over to his in-law's place. It's a whole garage full of stuff. It was a long day yesterday. It was actually a lot of fun. And I know you tease me about being really young, but Brian and I didn't feel so young yesterday, and my back was hurting and all this stuff. I'll quit complaining, but it's been 20 years since we were in college, and we just didn't feel quite up to it like we used to do these kinds of moves all the time. But we're having a lot of fun. But then after a long day, and our hands are dirty, and we got these nasty sweat rings on our t-shirts, after the sun goes down, he treats me to a dinner of prime rib and a delicious IPA, horseradish and roasted asparagus, and a pizookie at the end of the day. Oh my goodness, feasting after suffering is the best, right? It tastes so good. And these are the ideas that we need to get in our heads with this text with Isaiah. Come, everyone who is sore and tired. Come, everyone who is famished. And not just physically, come everyone who is depressed and afraid and alone. Come you who are grieving. Come you who are angry. Come, you who are anxious, come to the waters of God's word and God's meal and receive restoration for your souls and your hearts, your minds, even your physical bodies. Come and eat and drink. Come to the manger. Manger comes from the French word manger, right? To eat. Very interesting. Come and feast. With your tired bones and your worn out spirits, you're starting to look more and more like those shepherds. Those shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks by night, right? Washed up, empty, returning to our trashed homes, overwhelmed and bitter. I think this text alludes to letting go of the bitterness too. Let go. Let the wicked, the text says, let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteousness their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that God may have mercy on them, for God will abundantly pardon. So let it go. When we come to this great feast, we don't feast alone. We don't eat alone. Nobody feasts alone. If you're just eating a big meal by yourself, that's just a big meal by yourself. A feast, though, a banquet, this is something with family and friends, new family, maybe in-laws, maybe even a few new members, people that we might not even like, to be honest. I'm talking about Christmas meals, but I'm also talking about this banquet of grace that we gather around in church. So when we come, sometimes we sit across from people that we're not exactly fond of. People that might just get under our skin. People that we might even hate. Let it go, God says to us today. I will forgive them. And your anger and your anxiety and your stress is wreaking havoc on your own body and your own soul when you carry that anger at them. I love you too much, God says, to let you suffer in that way. So let it go. This is about total restoration. This is our God waiting for us, welcoming us, feeding us with grace and forgiveness. This is that word that comes down from heaven and takes root in us and grows in us like the water cycle. The rain doesn't fall in vain. The rain waters the earth. God's word waters our troubled existence. It refreshes our parched spirits. Brian and I kept drinking water yesterday, of course, and we just kept laughing at how loud we were letting out that sigh. After you drink water, you know, you go, ah, ah. And then we would laugh, like, why the big sigh? You know, why are you being so dramatic? Because it tastes good, and you're tired. Ah. God's word as water cycle. This gives hope. Two, that there's more for tomorrow. The word as water cycle gives hope that there's more to come. We receive enough grace for today. And then the great thing about the water cycle image is that, hey, more is going to cycle back again tomorrow. So we can calm down. We can simply trust that we have enough right now, that God's benevolent precipitation of mercy is enough for today. That's what we symbolize, by the way, in the offering. When we lift up our offerings, our tithes, our gifts, our money to God, we are symbolizing that we are trusting in God that we have enough for today. It's a ritualizing of enough. God's given us enough, and so we turn and we share our money and we welcome others in the same way that God has shared with and welcomed each one of us. This is all Advent activity. This is real Advent activity. This is getting ready. Restored and renewed and refreshed even this day. We continue to wait and work and watch with hopeful and joyful hearts. And we continue to approach and revel in this great feast of divine love. For God draws near. Be not afraid. The word accomplishes. That is enough. This is made flesh, and it dwells with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
of all of us at Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!